lift our hands and bless His name. Lord, we are tired of what used to be. We want something fresh from the Spirit. We are tired of dead religion that is not able to produce the power that is required. Father, again we have come. We have come to contend for something that works. We have come to contend for something that is real. We have come to contend for something that is genuine. Something we can stick our lives at. Go ahead and pray. Say, Lord, I'm tired. Tired of the revelation that does not produce results. I'm tired of believing a lie. I'm tired of living in a spiritual mirage. A reality that cannot stand the test of time.
We're tired of the status quo. It's gotta be more than this. Lord, we're tired of the status quo. It's gotta be more than this. It's gotta be more. Help me say,
gotta be more than this. It's gotta be more. Gotta be more.
One more time, we're tired of the status quo.
We're tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this. Tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this.
Gotta be more.
Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says, and Adam had the voice of God. The original Hebrew rendition says, and Adam had the talking spirit walking in the cool of the day. Hallelujah. And he said, Adam, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard your voice, but I hid because I was naked. And he said, who told you? You have believed something I did not say. Everything we hold true today, we had it from somewhere. Are you getting my point? There is a revelation that we have had and known about God that has become our reality today. There is a revelation we have had about who we are in Christ and what He has made us today. So every man functions according to his perspective, according to his plane of judgment, according to his reality. The Bible says, be careful so that your light is not darkness. That means what you call light from a spiritual perspective can be darkness. Very powerful song from the worship team. It's amazing how a man can live his entire life believing a lie. He said, be careful that what you have called light, what you have known about God, what you have been taught growing up, the ideologies that have formed the framework of your convictions. He said, be careful, because there is a possibility that although those who taught it were innocent, but the light that they may have given is darkness. Hallelujah. It's amazing. The woman in Luke chapter 12 who was bound, the Bible says, for 18 years. She kept going to the temple for 18 years. I am sure that a day would have come, she asked the scribes, come on, Moses did a lot of miracles. Is there no possibility for this happening? And the scribes would have told her it was God's will. Remain like that. But then Jesus shows up. Oh, I love Jesus. He shows up to change your mindset. And when Jesus showed up, the people who had been teaching error started becoming afraid. And the Bible says, Jesus looked at her and said, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her. And the Bible says, the woman stood straight. And the people were angry. And he said, lo, did you not teach her that she's a daughter of Abraham? What have you been teaching her for 18 years? Did you not make her understand that there was a covenant that was... And he said, in thee shall all thy seed, the families of the earth, be blessed. This does not look like the blessing. Did you teach her? Hallelujah.
We're tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this. I'm tired of the status quo.
Come on, sing from the depths of your heart.
There's gotta be more than this. There's gotta be more.
Be
saying,
gotta be more than this. Gotta be more than this.
Hallelujah. One of my passions, listen, is to open believers to the light and the truth of God's word. T.L. Osborne wrote a book, and the title of the book is The Message That Works. That means there is a message that does not work. Hallelujah. There is a message that does not work. There are many of us, there are many aspects of our lives that are not working. And people tell us, just keep working it. It is faith. One day it will work. We need to define what is faith and what is error. Because the end of faith is a performance. Hallelujah. So tonight, I'd like our hearts to be open. See, this is a school. Every time you come here, thank God for the opportunity to fellowship and relate with one another. But don't get carried away. Realize that you are about to hear something you may not have heard before. And because these words are not spoken in the flesh, they have the ability to impart grace. Ezekiel chapter 2 verse 1 and 2. It says, the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. He said, arise and shine. Not because you are tired of sitting. You will remain there. He said, for your light has come. Not your light is available. Your light has come to you. Lift your voice in 1 minute and say, Father, visit me. Appear unto me through your word as you did in Shiloh. Appear unto me through your word tonight. And by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I submit myself to the dealings of the Spirit. I understand that your word is able to change me and to give me an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated. It's always a joy to have us around every week. For those of you standing, please let there be no vacant seats inside. Please, ushers, let's occupy every vacancy. There's no reason why there should be seats. Maybe aside from these topmost ones, every other seat, please occupy it. If you can share, share. If they can come in and sit. When they were hungry, Jesus said, tell them to sit down because bread is about to come. If you can humble yourself. Then you will enjoy the bread of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, hear me. I want to encourage those of you outside. No matter what it will take, pay the price now. See, the price you don't pay now, you will pay tomorrow. But the trouble is, you will pay it with interest tomorrow. Hallelujah. So pay whatever price you have to pay now. Build your spirit. Help yourself. Build your spirit. Hallelujah. Holy is holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are holy. You're holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Just the voice is your holy. You are holy. Yes, you are holy. Are you Lord God Almighty?
Worthy is the Lamb.
One more time, you're holy.
You is holy. Holy. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Amen.
Amen.
Sing amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, we prophesy, let it be so, let it be so, that we are changed.
Amen.
We are transformed in His presence.
Amen.
The name of the Lord. Spirit of the living God, we thank you.
I cannot have enough. I cannot have enough. I cannot have enough of you.
This is my confession.
I cannot have enough. I cannot have enough. I cannot have enough of you.
It takes hunger to get deeper with God.
I cannot have enough. I cannot have enough. I cannot have enough of you.
One more time. We cannot have enough.
We cannot have enough. We cannot have enough. We cannot have enough of you.
Spirit of the living God, we submit ourselves to you tonight. Oh great Rabbi, help us. Open up the things of the Spirit unto us and cause us to hear and to understand. Teach us that which is true and authentic. And by knowledge, cause us to rise beyond the limitations that come with this system. Lord, we submit ourselves to your dealings. We humble ourselves and we take up meek hearts in your presence. Hearts that are palpable, hearts that are malleable, hearts that are allowed to be molded and to be changed in your presence. Equip us through knowledge. Equip us through revelation. Let us never be familiar with the things of the Spirit. And cause, O God, that we will not hear these things just as informations, but that they will sustain the ability to be received in our spirit, and that they will produce 100-fold in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I welcome every one of us once again. There are people coming in from everywhere. Those of you who came in from Jos, God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time. And then, let me not be biased. Other states, we are all welcome in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's get to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. There's a mighty presence of God in this place. We give Him all the praise for the gift of His presence. Without the presence of God, we are only storytellers. It takes the presence of God to effect changes. There are many people seated here who are sick. You didn't even come to hear anything. There are people who came sick. The fact that we have miracle services at the end of the month, it doesn't mean that other services are not miracle services. We just dedicate time to minister to the needs of people according to the measure of grace that He has given us. This is an apostolic ministry. Hallelujah. Paul speaking, he said, a man approved of God with miracles and signs. there are activities of the Spirit that follow these kinds of ministry, and this is why we take out the time to generously minister to the people of God. I'm one preacher that believes that I've been called to minister to the needs of the people. Hallelujah. I always tell men of God, when I have the privilege to speak in pastors' conferences, I tell them, if you are not prepared to minister to the needs of people, get set for empty chairs in your church. Hallelujah. Because the people don't just come because they love you. They come because they have serious problems. Hallelujah. And so while we pray and fast and prepare for every meeting every week, I'd like you to understand that part of our prayer is not just that the word prevails in our minds. The Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. We don't just want the word of God to prevail alone, but we want the sick to be healed in every service. Hallelujah. We want the oppressed to be delivered. So as the word of God is coming right now, I'd like you to prepare your heart. We may be talking about something else. See, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit's goal is to see himself when he looks at you. And every time he looks at you and sees that there is something that is planted in you that was not planted by him, he will take it away. We can be teaching on relationship and family life. We can be teaching on finances. Yet God is healing sick bodies because there is an anointing. And that anointing must answer to why it is there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14. We there? 1-2, read. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. One more time. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hallelujah. One of the greatest blessings, I believe, of God in my life, aside from the gracious knowledge of the person of the Holy Spirit, one of the greatest blessings that I consider from God to me is the deliverance that he brought to my mind by letting me know that the kingdom is founded upon definite structures. Do you understand what I'm saying? I grew up and I was taught that whatever will be. Have you heard that kind of teaching? I was taught that whatever happens, just give thanks and don't ask any question. I was taught that whatever you don't understand, God doesn't want you to understand. If he wants it, he will reveal it to you. So I grew up letting God become absolutely responsible for my life. And it looked very spiritual. Hallelujah. And I found out that my life was like a chess. Anything would just be played left, right, and center. Just like many of our lives. But then I got to understand by revelation and by the ministry of treasures in the body of Christ, how that when it comes to the gospel of the kingdom, it is a gospel of partnership. Many men of God call it covenant. I choose to call it partnership. The reason is because in a covenant, if you break the terms of the contract, you will suffer. But in partnership, your partner can help you even when you default. You see why I choose to call it partnership? I'm not against the concept of covenant, but I feel comfortable knowing that I'm in partnership with the Spirit. Because it is possible to be in partnership with someone who is able to cover for your limitations. And that introduces the mercy of God in the equation. But the fact that the mercy of God is available does not mean that I will not play my role. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And week after week, by the grace of God. Is that rain? Please come in. Ushers, coordinate them. Let's be very fast. Come in, sit everywhere. Everywhere, please come in. Come in. Come in with your chairs as much as possible. We apologize. It's a rainy season. Come in. Just bring them in. Please let the rain not. We already appreciate your commitment. Bring them in. Their spaces add. You can add more seats in front. Please. Hallelujah. We really apologize. We're a very responsible ministry, and my heart goes out to all those who do not have seats or those who are outside. We really apologize. Praise God. You can add more chairs in front. Bring them in front. Don't feel embarrassed. Relax. Make yourself very comfortable. One of the reasons why men of God do not get blessed, and one of the reasons why God does not honor many ministries with people, is because they do not know that ministry is all about people. Hallelujah. When you treat people like animals, they will not come to your church or to your meeting. Hallelujah. Forget the fact that we teach and say, okay, the Holy Spirit is this. If you like, don't come and get blessed. By the time you see empty pews again and again, you must change your confession. We treat people with honor and dignity, because the Bible says, now it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. We realize that we are treating men and women of royalty, men of dignity. Only God can tell how far. Because the word of God that we teach and preach is the incorruptible word of God that is able to make any man become great. Once again, we apologize. Thank you, Jesus. So tonight I'm teaching on one of those keys again. Many of us have been receiving these keys again and again. Please just indicate by way of lifting your hands if you know that you are gaining understanding into the operation of spiritual things. Let me see your hands. That you can, like a doctor, look at someone's life right now. Hallelujah. Come, sir. Can I use you? Come. If this brother comes to us right now and he says, I'm being oppressed by demons and powers of darkness, I expect anyone who has been faithfully listening to these teachings, and even the many thousands and millions online who are following us, listen, I expect that you should be able to profess solution to this brother. Hallelujah. And that solution is not to take him to Joshua Selman. If the solution is to take him to Joshua Selman, then you are not learning enough. Because the goal is not for one man to stand and become Alpha and Omega. The goal is that by the investments of the word of God in you, you are able to have the ability, the revelation, the faith, and the anointing to legislate on behalf of heaven. Hallelujah. So I expect just anybody at all to be able to walk up to this brother and say, brother, if you are in Christ, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And although this is true, don't feel embarrassed. It doesn't mean that because you are going through what you are going through, the word of God is a lie. I am here as an ambassador to enforce that verdict in your life. Hallelujah. And then you expect the backing of heaven. If this brother comes right now and says, nothing is working in my life. There's no job, there's no finance, there's no marriage, there's no open door. I'm a failure all round. I expect any of us to be able to sit with this brother in 3 days. And by the revelation, the strategic revelation of the word of God, you should be able to bless him. Listen, the knowledge of the word is a gift you can give people. Hallelujah. I can count money, my brother, even if it is 1 million naira, if I give you, it will finish. Either by carelessness or fruitful use, it will still finish. Are you getting my point now? But if I deposit in you, notice my choice of words, the strategic word of God. Not just the word of God by his stripes, no, not by his stripes, tithe, give, be blessed, and so on and so forth. That is not strategic. You don't teach people that way. That's information. Hallelujah. Teaching means to bring you into the understanding of the operation of kingdom principles. That's what it means to understand. When you understand a thing, you can explain it. If it is still vague, you only know it. You don't understand it. The proof that you understand a truth in the kingdom is that you can teach it confidently. Hallelujah. Bless you, sir. Thank you. Tonight, I'm sharing very briefly and then we'll pray on a message I titled Koinonia, Ancient Secrets to Power and Relevance. Koinonia and then colon, Ancient Secrets to Power and Relevance. Please listen to this message tonight. I truly believe it's very powerful and it will change our lives. His grace, your grace, I'm nothing without you. It's grace, your grace shines on me. It's your grace, Lord, I'm nothing without you. Your grace shines on me. Listen, you know why I took this song? You know how confident I am about life? You cannot imagine. It's not arrogance. Ah, look, see, when you see me teach these truths, the Bible says, I found your word and I did eat them. And they became a joy and a rejoicing to my soul. If I buy shares for you, you may be happy and you may feel secured, right? If I connect you to a rich man, you may be happy and feel secured. If I connect you to an anointed man, you may feel happy and secured. But brothers and sisters, when you are connected to the revelation of the truths of the kingdom, is the ultimate secret for confidence in life. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like beer that intoxicates. Until it has become true in your life, you may not understand. This is why Paul even had to correct himself. He said, we make our boasting, but then he said in the Lord, so that you will not be misunderstood. The word of God gives you such a level of confidence. All of a sudden, when you understand the principles of the kingdom, you will now begin to connect the equations of life. You will now find out that as haphazard as life looks, there is a formula that governs its operation. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will just know that nothing just happens. There is a formula. Listen, when you find it, you have found it. It may cost you to find it. But brothers and sisters, when you find it, it's an asset. You don't need to refrigerate it. I keep saying it. You don't need to keep it with another untrusted person. It's yours. And it's yours for life. Hallelujah. Receive the word. Receive the word. Receive the word. It's your way out of mediocrity in life. It's your way out of irrelevance. I don't know what you may be going through right now, and I don't care how bad things are in your life. I'm telling you the truth, brothers and sisters. If you receive the word of the kingdom, the strategic understanding of the operation of the kingdom, you are a champion, and no power in existence can stop it. It's not about prophecy. It's not just about laying on of hands. It's about coming to a point where you are built by knowledge. So when you look at life, the thing that makes others panic, it no longer makes you panic. Because you understand the hidden operation of these realities. Many people just wait for the physical consequences of whatever happens in the spirit. And then they try to manage it when it appears physically. That's a risky way of living. Hallelujah. The
Bible says, they that know their God, Daniel 11:32, the B part, it said, they shall be strong, and in this life they will do exploits. There are some of us here who are ministers of the gospel, and we are trusting God to stamp his hand upon our lives. I'm telling you, this is the way it works. There are some of us who are great leaders, corporate leaders, great people in different areas of our lives. There are some of us who have come on behalf of ourselves and the numerous confused people that we have in our lineage, and we know that we are the saviors. If we miss it, there might not be a door of opportunity. But I have good news for you. They said about Jesus, can anything good come out of Nazareth? The word of God has equal value to any man. There's no tribalism about the word of God. I hate tribalism. You would have noticed that. I hate tribalism of any sort. Because the word of God places us in the same position. Your only limitation is your degree of persistence and your degree of passion to spiritual things. What the word of God will do to a Hausa man, it will do to a Yoruba man. What the word of God will do to an Igbo person, it will do to a South-South person. What the word of God will do to an illiterate, it will do to a professor. The word of God has equal value if it is received, believed, and acted upon. This for me is the ultimate representation of God's justice, that God is a just man truly. Because if the word of God had a way of becoming an advantage unto others by default, then would have said, God is playing injustice somewhere. That means the word of God gives me the same opportunity. The same opportunity. The same opportunity. And through the months, the last 2-3 months, we've been talking about several things. I am very proud of the fact that a majority of the people in this meeting are young people. I'm very proud of it. Years ago, let me tell you something. Years ago, when God started with us and we started this great thing that we see today, a lot of people felt it's just young people. But they have forgotten that the man celebrating 50 years today was once a young man who was misled with wrong information. And he confused himself to old age. And so, for me, a man of God said the Lord told him something. He said, give me the youth and I will give you a new nation. Some of our parents are too old to effect change. They will only leverage on our own transformation. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some of you are in children ministry, and when you are talking to the children, you just look at them, little children. Hello. Wake up and see those who were. I still remember very vividly when I was very, very small. If you have forgotten, you are really old. Hallelujah. I remember a few commitments that I made in my life to seek God. I have no regrets. Because I always say this, young people have time, but they lack knowledge. They are inexperienced. They are naive. Old people don't have time, but they have learned the lesson through pain. But there's no time to correct it. So we have the advantage of knowledge and time. And I will get all the knowledge and do great things for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that some of the truths we are hearing, a number of people here are married, but most of us, many of us here are not married. Is it not a great blessing to know that your children will not eye you one day and say, goodness, what sort of father are you? Or what sort of mother are you? Are you not happy that your generation will look at you and say, we were blessed to have you? Hallelujah. I give God all the glory. I treasure this ministry. I treasure that which God is doing. It is an opportunity to transform lives. I said this thing about 5-6 years ago, that we are all going to be great, and the great part is we all know one another.
Yes, we'll remember one another. Do not underestimate what the Holy Ghost is doing in the lives of people. This is a renaissance. It's a revolution. It's like the foxes that Samson set on fire and just sent them. There are some of you sitting down here. Even you do not know how mighty. Who knows? Maybe there are wives of presidents in this place. What is wrong with that? I love that lady. She lifted her hands and said, "Hallelujah." In other words, I'm not sitting in the presence of God for nothing. There are multi-billionaire conglomerate owners who are spirit-filled. See that? An apostolic. Not just wild people advancing hell. They understand strategic kingdom advancement. There are men and women of God who carry anointing indeed. There will be very little competition when we start manifesting, because great will be the grace upon us. There will not be need for envying people. We will celebrate one another because we have become colleagues in victory. So I can be invited for a meeting. I may not be able to go. I'll say, "Sir, please go for me." And I know that Christ will be glorified. It's not about one great MOG. That's why we are pressing. The earth will see wonders. Every man, before he was used of God, he believed he was nothing. But not when God stretches his hands upon you. He will make a wonder. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing. I treasure and I appreciate what God is doing in my life. And I'm encouraging you. Do not trivialize what God is doing in your life. Not everybody is as yielded as you are. I hope you know that. This is Friday night. There are many disco halls that are open. What's the time? It's the right time when everything is open. And trust me, there are some people sowing to the flesh, making generous investments unto death. But you are here building your spirit. There is the justice system of God. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever, not a preacher, a man sows. Brothers, you are standing now, but you are already sowing for your children. School fees will be paid. You are not even aware of when it was paid. That's how blessed it can be. Because you will bless people. Your child will become a millionaire at age 5. Not because you did anything. It's a privilege. They will make all your children head boy, head girl. It's not head boy anything. It's just to bring the favor of God to the school. I can imagine how my children will be. You know, I think about this thing. Let me tell you something very humorous. A lady, during my birthday, she's here. She bought me baby shoes as birthday gift. And I said, "Goodness. That's for another day. That's for another day. That's for another day." Do you believe in what God is doing in your life? Yeah. That you will end certain cycles. A day will come, your name will become a password to favor for people. That when there are barriers and there's nothing to do, they don't need to start shouting Jesus foolishly. They say, "I know this gentleman." See, you know him. Are you sure? Please. May it happen, oh God. May it happen. May it happen. May it happen. Yes, it will happen. So let people laugh at you, no problem. Let them criticize you, no problem. Pay the price now. Sisters, I can guarantee you are going to marry very good men. It's a guarantee. Like, don't say amen. I can guarantee you. Don't you think, forget the fact that these brothers are wearing sandals and their jeans are faded. What is in them? He said, "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed." You hold on. They may not have. Forget about all these men that come with jeeps. You have already seen their future. You don't know the future of these ones. Those of you who are gullible, following every man, calm down. You will see the rising when you see the Son of Man in power and glory. You will remember. Brothers, take your gari honorably. Give Jesus praise. Because you're already counting days. And same for the brothers. I guarantee that you will marry virtuous ladies. Yes. See, the Bible says, he that finds a wife, a wife is not the name of a lady. A wife is a personal, it's not a personality, it's a, what do I call it? It's an office. You must be a wife before you become found. It's a he that finds a wife, not he whose finding makes her a wife. That's for another day. Some of you are happy. You wish I'll just continue. You like this love and relationship thing. We're taking over the mountains. Yes, we are. We are. We are. Say after me, I'm great. Please say it with revelation. I am great. This is not just, it's not just those childish confession. I am great. I am really great. Say I'm influential. Thank you, Jesus. Koinonia, ancient secrets to power and relevance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Write this word down. The teaching has begun, please. Make sure you have something writing. You just shouted, I am great, I am great. Please write all your phones. If you don't have, don't feel bad. Don't be under pressure. But next time, please get a notebook. Not just a jotter that you bring out from the back of your pocket. Have a very good hardcover note. See this? This means a lot of things about you. It means I am responsible. I mean business about my life. I'm not a joker and I'm going somewhere. When you get a good hardcover notebook, when you slip pieces of paper and with broken biros that are all stained, it tells me the quality of your appreciation for your future. Write this word down. Uncommon. Help us, Holy Spirit. Sharing something very spiritual, and I trust that the power of God will back up the things that we're teaching tonight. Write that word down, uncommon, because this is what you are becoming. The word uncommon means to be needed. It means to be needed. It means to be in high demand. To be in high demand. It means to be significant. Are you writing, please? It means, I like this one, not easily replaceable. To be uncommon means that you are not easily replaceable. It means worthy of honor. To be uncommon means that you are worthy of honor. It means you are an endangered species. It means you are scarce. You are highly prized. I'm just talking. Hallelujah. The revelation of the word of God is making us uncommon. Uncommon means you do not find it anywhere. Uncommon means you don't pick it on the ground. Gold is a treasured metal, because you have to dig the earth to find it. No one treasures sand so much, because you can bend down and just pick it up. So God is making us uncommon. Pray in 1 minute before I start teaching. Say, Lord, you are making me uncommon. I receive of that ministry. I receive of that ministry. Pray, you're making me uncommon. I'm becoming uncommon. I'm a joy to my family, to all those around me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The word koinonia, please write it down. The word koinonia means, there are actually 7 meanings. It's a Greek word from the text that we just took. The word koinonia. It has 7 meanings, but I'll just focus on 3 of them. Number 1, it means communion. The coming together of 2 people.
It means intimacy, a state of closeness that brings about oneness, intimacy. And number three, it means partnership or joint participation. Partnership or joint participation. I have discovered in my life, and I've studied from scripture, that this word koinonia, enshrined in this word, is the revelation that holds the key to true power, true anointing. Many of us, when you see a man that is mightily being used by God, we say this man is anointed, or this is a powerful man of God, or this man is full of grace, you know, and so on and so forth, to mean that there is a rich deposit of the ability of the Holy Spirit in that man's life. And tonight I want to show you the secret, because there is a secret. I call it an ancient secret. An ancient secret that is responsible for power, genuine, authentic power. The ancient secret that is responsible for timeless relevance. Relevance that cuts across dispensations. Relevance that cuts across age and geographic barriers. Koinonia, that word. Every man in scripture, We see, when you read from Genesis down to Revelation, you see that God used all sorts of people. He used Tamaras, he used thieves, doubting people, temperance people, educated people, illiterate people. So there were all kinds of people with their personality differences and temperaments. But one thing happened to them all. They had encounters. And they came into this mystery called koinonia. And that was the secret of the rich deposit of the Spirit in their lives. And it made them relevant through the dispensation of their generations. And some of them were even referred to in dispensations that were not their own. For instance, Abraham. We make reference to him. Transgenerational relevance. Koinonia. Everybody say koinonia. There is a state of intimacy and fellowship that you have with the Holy Spirit that will translate into the anointing of the Spirit working in your life. And tonight I'm going to guide us very briefly into it, and then we'll pray. There is something that you can know. You know, through the past months we've been exploring the concept of relevance, success, impact, and all of that, because it is very important. It's not only enough for us to explore prayer, spiritual things, the gifts of the Spirit, you know, and so on and so forth. Many of us will be consoled. Our Christian experience will comfort us when we begin to learn the principles that make us relevant. Hallelujah. Koinonia. That secret that the ancient knew. Right now we teach all kinds of formulas, and I love principles. We teach methods of getting the anointing. I've read a lot of books, especially in recent times. There are all kinds of books and all kinds of things that attempt to teach people on the anointing. And I'm telling you, unfortunately, many of these people that write these books have not demonstrated the reality of the anointing in their lives. And so they have written theological dissertations about the anointing and the workings of the anointing, and the way it translates into making a man relevant. And many people have applied these principles. Right now, we think the anointing is something, or the power of the Holy Spirit is just a formula. Do A, do B, and then automatically it will happen. No. You are dealing with somebody. You are dealing with a personality. You are not dealing with an animal. You are not dealing with an object. You are not dealing with a machine. You are dealing with a real person who has emotions, a real person who you can have fellowship with. And if you do not understand koinonia, then you may never taste kingdom relevance in your lifetime. Hallelujah. Fellowship, the fellowship of the Spirit. Here Paul begins to speak in 2 Corinthians. He said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That grace is also the love of God. And he says the fellowship of the Spirit. The fellowship. The constant coming together. The joint participation between you and the Spirit. Let it remain with you. I hope you know that the Corinthian church were a powerful church. It was in 1 Corinthians 12 down to 14 that Paul began to talk to the Corinthian church, because they were walking mightily in the gifts of the Spirit. They were moving in spiritual things. Paul even had to talk to them. And in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40, he said, let all things be done decently and in order. He had to come in and bring order, because the demonstration of the Spirit upon their life was so rich, it was creating chaos. And the secret, he encourages them to keep doing what they had been doing that brought the glory and the power of God. And he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship. Do not ignore fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he was telling them. Make sure that you do not get too busy in life and in ministry. Make sure you do not become so much of a minister, a preacher, a celebrity, that you forget the fellowship of the Spirit, because your relevance is tied to it. This is what Paul was trying to let the Corinthian church know. That the fellowship of the Spirit be. Let it remain. Let it not become an occasional thing. Because the church was getting famous. They were doing great things. They were getting busy, just like many of us are becoming busy. Let me tell you something with people. When they start out with God, because there are no invitations, permit my bias, I'm talking about ministers, but it applies to every area of our lives. As a minister, when you're starting out, no one knows you. There's no ministry, there's no invitation, no grace speaking. So it is easy to stay in the place of fellowship. And I'll share a few components of that. You know, you stay, you experience that koinonia. You can dedicate a whole day, a whole week. But then something happens. When you start becoming busy, there are all kinds of ministrations here and there. You have invitations and you have to even select which one to go and which one not to go. At that point, the grace and the impetus to continue koinonia is affected, because right now there is nothing to lose. Even if you stay for 1 month and you don't read anything, there are tapes that have recorded the workings of God in your life, and those tapes will open doors of ministration. When you stand, there will always be something to share. And God cannot deny himself. So you will still see the grace of God here and there in your meeting. And then many people become stunted. And many people even lose relevance. I preached a message, and you can get the teaching, The Secret of Sustained Glory. I think it's a preparatory message to what I'm sharing tonight. And if you don't have it, you can get it from the media. It's free. The secret of sustained glory. The secret of transgenerational relevance. I don't want to be a man of God who will be relevant for 4 or 5 months. And then one day they'll say, I remember. We used to know this guy. Yo, he loved God. I don't know what happened, but it has happened. There are so many people like that. In this country, there are men who were relevant in certain seasons. They carried the banner of spiritual things. They pioneered certain great things, but right now their voices are silent. I want to tell you something. When you lose the fellowship of the Spirit, you have lost the place of spiritual power, and you have lost the place of relevance. When you lose koinonia, when this word becomes foreign in your life and through your words, you cannot mention that word frequently again. I'm assuring you, you have lost spiritual power. Everybody say koinonia. Say fellowship. That fellowship of the Spirit. The psalmist understood this. And he said, cast me not away from your presence. He said, take not your Spirit from me. It was the Holy Ghost that took me. It was koinonia that took me from a shepherd boy to become a king.
over the nation of Israel. And he said, oh Lord, cast me not. It's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this participation is because of my joint partnership that I've written so many songs. I've written so many hymns that I am considered to be a great king because of one that works together with me. And he says, oh Lord, cast me not away. Let nothing happen in my life and in executing my work that makes you cast me from your presence. Because at that point, I will begin to lose relevance. Hallelujah. This happened to his son called Solomon. Solomon, theologically speaking, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes in his fallen state. Hallelujah. That's why he wrote all sorts of things. Vanity upon vanity, he was angry. All his vanity. He was communicating frustration because he had done all sorts of things. The man who saw the manifest presence of God twice, it was Solomon who prayed at the dedication of the temple. He said, now arise, O God, and come to your resting place. It was Solomon. Now Solomon had lost the place of koinonia and he began to lose relevance. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, advising people and communicating his frustration. He said, I gave myself to everything. Everything my eyes saw that I wanted, I got. No restraint. Because you see, the place of intimacy is the place of pruning. It's where God creates boundaries in your life. It's where God builds you. And as you are moving, prosperity, influence gives you options. It enlarges your coast. And it takes you returning to the Spirit so that He will set boundaries. Otherwise, you will break boundaries until you lose relevance. Hallelujah. It is the absence of koinonia, listen to me, that can make a man of God begin to walk and live very well and do great things. And when he finds out that God has blessed him with a large congregation made up of all kinds of pretty ladies, lack of koinonia, a visitation and a sustaining remaining in the secret place that can make him compromise on the secrets and the principles that sustain the anointing until there are all kinds of trouble in his life. All sorts of things here and there disturbing a man of God's wife, sleeping with somebody who came for counseling. I'm not castigating people. The mercy of God is still there. But I'm just telling us it can be prevented. Are you getting my point now? You can prevent it. It can be prevented. Sorry. You don't have to wait until you pass through it and then try to manage it. There's a great man of God. I honor the man so much. He has a television ministry. He was a great evangelist, mighty evangelist. Then, if there was a little scandal, not now that a man of God can even come on stage and say, I'm gay, and then nothing happens. Congregation doesn't change. Then, no matter how little the scandal was, you've lost your ministry. A great man of God by the name Jimmy Swaggart. This man did mighty things. He was in the class of Benny Hinn and Reinhard Bonnke and all these men of God. Mighty man. But just a little scandal just dropped him down. And he's risen back today. He's doing great things. But he may never be like before again. Hallelujah. A man of God who starts in the secret and now becomes, and all that he's obsessed about is cars. He can sit down browsing all through the night, all sorts of cars, because it's just to make the order, and in 6 weeks he's in his garage. Lost without restraint. Everybody say koinonia. The secret of true spiritual power. I'm teaching us this because it is important that we become relevant. What are the components of true fellowship with the Holy Spirit? What must happen in your life for us to really say you're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? What does it entail? Koinonia is not just a vague thing. It's something that is you can describe the activities that happen in that secret place. Number one, or before we even talk about them, let me just tell you something. If you want to enjoy intimacy with the Holy Spirit, the first thing is that you must recognize and respect His ministry in your life. You must respect his relevance in your life. This is very important. Very, very important. I can never be close to you if you do not communicate to me that I am needed in your life. Is that true? How many of you have found yourself restraining yourself from certain people and friends because they act every time you are around as though you are a pest? Is that true? Have you seen people like that? Even when there is fire falling on their head, you say, let it fall. The last time I went there, they treated me like a dog. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit is God. Make sure you write it. The Holy Spirit is not an archangel. The Holy Spirit is not the first man. The Holy Spirit is God in all the fullness. So you must be able to respect and be prepared to receive his ministry. I learned that from Benny Hinn. Till today, when Benny Hinn stands upon his crusade stage with hundreds of thousands of people and millions of people, he gives acknowledgement. You know what it means to acknowledge a man? Go for occasions and you find out that if there are dignitaries seated around, they don't start the occasion proper until you acknowledge them. In our midst here is so, so, so and so, and then they say a little bit about the man. He was able to do this, and while they are doing that, the man is excited, he's happy, and there are ushers already standing close to him. Say, ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome this and that and his lovely wife. And two of them try to pretend, I don't want to go, and they say, please sir, we love you too much, this seat was made for you. And you are acknowledging them, and the amount the man did not plan to give, he will give it because he was acknowledged. The Bible says, in all your ways acknowledge. It didn't say talk to him. Many of us talk to God, but we don't acknowledge him. Hallelujah. Do you respect the Holy Spirit, or do you just believe in him? I respect his ministry. There is an invisible person, brothers and sisters, that stands close to me. Take that person away from me. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, Joshua Selman is dead. People will keep asking, what happened? Maybe he has gone to Babalawo. Maybe the charm was not renewed. Everything has backfired. The presence of the Spirit. I'm not embarrassed. Listen, and let me use this to teach you the secret of friendship. For many of you, everybody you come close to runs away from you. Let me tell you what is wrong now. It's not necessarily demons. It's because your life creates a picture that trivializes the importance of people in your life. The Bible says, he who wants friends must first show himself friend. If I come to your room and you are frowning because you want to put food, and I'm full, it's not even that I want to eat, but the way you are frowning, you are creating a body language that tells me, Yusuf, now for you. You know, you think I'll come there again? But when I come and you celebrate me, you show genuinely from your heart that if I were to come 100 times, you will still receive me. A time will come when I will make my habitation in your house there. That's what happened to the prophet. Remember the prophet and the Shunammite woman? Every time he passed, when the woman saw him, she made table. She studied the things that he liked. She put a table for him because she noticed he was always receiving from God and writing. And the prophet was so amazed. A time came when she even created a room for him. And she was blessed. Do you make room for the Spirit? You get up in the morning, you get up in a whole week, and you don't care about him. You don't talk to him. And then sometimes we come for koinonia and people just tell a lot of lies. You are the love of my life. Love of your life. Of your life. Not even of your day, of your life. I wouldn't trade you for silver or gold. I was teaching in a ministry and I said, hold on. Do you know what silver and gold is? Silver and gold can change your life and your family. Wouldn't trade you for riches untold. You are my heir. As a lady, when you are singing, your husband will just be looking at you. You are my everything. Okay. And now see the reason why you don't cook for me again. You are not faithful. Can you Give the Holy Spirit your all. Can you let him know that I have no ministry without you? This is what I tell him in the secret place. I say, Lord, people love me today because you love me. If I reject you, that's the same thing that will happen. My life is a reflection of the honor I give to him. Every time I honor him, I find out that people honor me. Every time I find out that my honor for him is dwindling, I see it happen in my life and I run for a retreat quickly. Hallelujah. When you dishonor the Holy Spirit, your life will reflect that dishonor, because the glory that keeps you honorable fades away. Hallelujah. See, I respect the Spirit of God. Yes, I do. I do. I respect him. I honor him. I don't just believe in him. I've had the opportunity to preach in crusades and meetings and conferences and so many meetings. I'm week after week, I'm traveling from end to end of this nation, preaching and doing mighty things for the kingdom. And in every one of these meetings, he has not left me without a witness. How could I reject him? Everyone, people send me text messages. They say a lot of things. Joshua Selman, thank you. Your messages are changing lives. Your messages are doing this and that. And in my mind, I say, our message, Holy Spirit. They just don't know. You know that song? What's it? They don't know what you mean to me. They don't know what you mean to me. Listen, if someone has volunteered to pay your school fees, the day you hear the person is sick with a terminal disease, what will you do? You will run like your life depends on it. Your school fees is at stake. Is that true? The Holy Spirit is the key to my relevance. If people ever clap for me, it's because of him. So as they clap for me, I only become an usher. And I say, Holy Spirit, you are the one who deserves it. When I stand and I speak, I don't have the ability to be everywhere at the same time. But as I speak, he's the one who touches people. His power. He makes his power manifest. He's the force behind the messages of this ministry that you hear, and it does something to you you cannot explain. How could I ignore him? How could I ignore him? Based on what? What you see in my life is a reflection of his glory. If you ignore the Holy Spirit, you have ignored beauty and glory from your life. If you have ignored the Holy Spirit, listen, God is speaking to us here. We started last week. Many of us have truly ignored the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Koinonia. Many of us have become so busy. You have become a business mogul now. You have partners in Abuja and Lagos and abroad and China. You are now a great man. You are now a five-pointer. You nail it at will. There's no need for the Holy Spirit again. You are now married. No need for crying or dropping any prayer request for life partner. And there's no reason to seek him again. We must get to that point where we create a secret place. Every time I listen to Mike Murdock, he takes time to honor the Holy Spirit. And he does it generously from the depths of his heart. Ladies, imagine how your husband will feel when you come up and before you preach, you take 10 quality minutes and you just shower honor. Say, I'm a queen because he's a king. Hey. I'm married because he married me. The man is there managing all of the blessings that are coming. As soon as you finish, that car that you wanted to buy, you say, honey, what did you even say you wanted? Listen, it looks like I'm using everyday joke, but I'm telling you, this is the secret. And can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? The reason why many people are disgraced in public is because they embarrass the Holy Spirit in secret. If you honor him in secret, he will never forget you in public. Many people come on stage, the power of God is going to move, I came all the way to let you see what God will do, and we chorus all sorts of things and get angry at the people. You don't have faith. Open now, receive. What we are meaning is try, you know, all sorts of things. We lay hands on people, twisting their head up and down, and they say, ah, let me just fall. This man will kill me. Brothers and sisters, the absence of intimacy is always clear. You can't fake it. Hallelujah. Every time you hold this mic, you hear the voice of two people. It's just that it has been woven into one. That's the reason why I can be talking to you outside. You see that? Generally. But once it is time to come into that office that releases our oneness, you will hear another voice. So every time you come to touch me, you are touching two people. Joshua Selman is a man, but there is the Holy Spirit standing behind. Higher. When it's time to lay hands on the sick, he tells me, remember, we're in the secret place. Remember the things that I taught you. And so together we lay that hand. And while my hand is, there's nothing to it. But when his hand comes upon your hand, guys, suddenly it happens as if you are playing, but then it's as real as anything. Sister, when the Holy Ghost comes upon your life, he amplifies your beauty. There is a level of beauty that people, they know there is something about you. It's not like you are the finest lady everywhere, but they are seeing the beauty that is interfacing both the physical and the spirit realm. The brother talks to you and he cannot sleep again. He knows he spoke to two people. Hallelujah. And so you greet someone and you tell the person, God bless you. And that word comes with an anointing, because there is another personality. Say, I am never alone. Say it again, I am never alone. There is a personality that walks with me, that talks with me. See, if you carry this mindset, it will change your life. Oh, I'm never alone. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. For you are with me. When I go for meetings and I see sick people and I see hungry people, hungry for the things of God, and I see stubborn people, there are people that when you see in a meeting, if the Holy Ghost is not with you, start crying, because you say in Jesus' name, they are not even answering amen. You see, they are as complicated as whatever. You know you are in for a surprise. It's at that time you can lean on the strength of one who is greater than you, and you know that the Holy Spirit is going to do something in their lives. And sometimes when I see people who come for koinonia, you know, when I follow the pictures, you see the person who came, you know that someone brought him, because he's even surprised. He's just standing outside and wondering. And you know, this person does not even know why he came. The ability of the Spirit. Have you ignored the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life? This has nothing to do with just ministry. It has to do with every area your life. So you must respect his ministry. The Holy Ghost is a gentleman. The limit to which you allow him to come into your life is the limit to which he remains. Revelation 3:20. Let's hurry up. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Let's sing it one more time. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit,
Thou art welcoming His presence, omnipotent Father of mercy and grace. Thou art welcoming this place.
Listen, it says, behold, I stand. He was writing to the seven churches. They were already saved. This is not a scripture for sinners. He was writing to the seven churches in Asia Minor. But he said, behold, I stand. Like a guy comes to propose to a lady. You can't just grab a lady and say, you are my wife. No, forget about those things they used to do before. You are my wife. And you no, behold, I come and I stand. I seek intimacy. I seek intimacy, but I will not bump into your life because you have a will. You can choose to reject me and I will go. Are you getting my point now? He said, behold, I stand. As mighty as I am, I am able to change your life. But I stand. He says, and I knock. If any man hear my voice. That means you can be so distracted you do not even hear His voice. But if for any reason you hear my voice, and what? Open the door. What does it mean to open the door? Receive my ministry. Consider it that I am relevant enough. Consider it that without me you will lose relevance. Without me there's no spiritual power. Without me you will struggle. That I am able to bring beauty and glory out of your life, out of your church, out of your fellowship. Consider it that you don't need to relocate. What you need is not to come closer to the people. Jesus was on the mountain, crowds came. In the desert, crowds came. All these excuses we give, they are various ways of explaining the consequences of the absence of koinonia. If my church was in Abuja, people would have come. I know that. If I had money, I would have paid for everything. I would have done beautiful backdrop. It's a lie. It's a lie. There is a presence that draws people. It's called anakazo. It's a compelling power of the Spirit. Believe what I'm telling you. No human being can resist it. No matter how stubborn you are. Listen, this is the power that created the heavens and the earth. This is the power that raised Christ from the dead. Oh no, you are too small to resist it. When the ministry of the Holy Spirit is allowed and permitted in a church, in a building, you will see supernatural things that will amaze you. The reason why things look very difficult in churches and ministries is because we have boxed the Holy Spirit. We are embarrassed to tell the people that He is greater than us. We are threatened like two business partners who have begun to fight themselves. Yong Gi Cho wrote a book, The Secret of His Building the 700,000 City in Seoul. He wrote that book. I read that book years ago. Holy Spirit, my senior partner. Wrote another book, The Fourth Dimension. There is more to this man you see. I'm not so smart in myself. Come on now. But there is one who can bring beauty and glory out of your life. But he's standing tonight. Listen, he's knocking. You've struggled all your life to be relevant. Man of God, you have struggled. You've told lies with miracles that didn't happen because of the absence of His presence. And He's saying there is no need. You can get into the real thing. You have exaggerated the number of your church members because you are embarrassed. You have said all kinds of things, competing with people. He's saying there is no need. I can give you something authentic. Sister, you have envied everybody you can see. And the Holy Spirit is saying there's no need. There is beauty and glory. He's called the Spirit of Glory. He does something to you. Do you know that the Holy Spirit can alter your physical form, your physical, biological form? There is a depth. How many of you have seen a man who gets married to his wife and after 4 or 5 years they start looking like one another? Is that true? It even happens to some, even from relationship, before they get married. You say, ah, oh boy, when did you start becoming fair? You say, that's none of your business. Oneness, participation. How many of you have seen pastors of certain ministries look like their ministers? And you know they did not try to cook it up. Something happened. It looks like their physical appearance were altered. That's what happened to the apostles in Acts, the book of Acts. They looked like Jesus. That's what happened to Peter. When they saw Peter, they said, no, Peter, your talk betrays you. It tells you you have been. Peter said, woman, me, I've not been with Jesus. But he had been so into oneness that even when he wanted to run away, he could not. He had taken up the language, the character. Let me tell you something about oneness with the Spirit. Bless you, my dear. When you become one with the Holy Spirit, see, when a spirit comes to walk with a man, the spirit begins to live out its characteristics through that man. Just like a demon spirit. Right? There was a spirit, and it was the posture of that spirit, the woman who was bound for 18 years as you. When you are praying for people and, you know, during deliverance sessions, you see people acting like animals and acting like snakes because the spirit that oppresses them is trying to manifest its characteristic through their faculties. So when you walk with the Spirit without struggle, that is the real revelation of grace. You start seeing the love of God at work in you. Are you seeing the point now? There are times that the Holy Spirit is grieved about certain things and you start crying physically. Because you are now, there is a sharing together. He can pour into you his burden. Hallelujah. There are times that the Holy Ghost is excited. So you are praying in tongues. We'll talk about that. You are praying in the secret place and the Holy Spirit sees that you have entered the realm of victory. You cannot see it and he starts rejoicing and you start laughing. You see now, you have not seen it, but because you are one, he starts letting you share in the victory. That's why when a sick body is healed, the Holy Ghost doesn't just appear and say, all right, stand, let me shine. Congregation, I am the one. You are the only one who is left. That is your own benefit of coming into oneness. And so people look and your face are on posters and billboards and people say, this is the great man. And you, who, because you have wisdom, you run back and say, Spirit of God, I'm not foolish. We are together. It's the biggest secret that I've learned. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let everything in my life give way. If you leave me with the Holy Spirit, you have not done anything to me. Hallelujah. A great man of God, Apostle Johnson Suleiman, I've shared the story here, I'll share it again. He was praying at a particular point and a great politician came to see him. Very noble man. And so when he came, 1 hour, the man of God was still praying. 2 hours, he was just in the room. 3 hours, the wife got a bit embarrassed. His daughter got a bit embarrassed and she went to knock. And then he opened the door and she entered. And she was like, Daddy, this man, Abba, attend to him, let him go. And he looked at her and said, my daughter, sit down. He said, you know why this man is here? He's here because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit. If I leave my relationship with the Holy Spirit because of him, he will never return again. Let him wait. There are many of us, as Koinonia is like this, when we see certain dignified people, we cannot worship in the presence of God because we are embarrassed. The one who makes the world clap for you, if you run away from him now, are you not foolish? Because they will not clap again. The one who has made you a celebrity. The one who took you from the wilderness. Some of us, we know where we are coming from. Hallelujah. Look how he's brought beauty and glory out of your life.
I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
See, my mom sent me a text. My mom sent me a text that blessed me so much. You know what she told me in the text? She's with her husband in Lagos. And they sent me a text. Her now. She said, she calls me her father. So she said, my father, make sure you don't buy a car with tinted glasses. because police people will disturb you. I hope you take note of that. Bless you or love you or whatever it is. I said, you know what it means for a mother to be so confident that her son is a success? She knows that if I'm not going to go and carry any kind of thing and manage, she's advising me in advance. She said, don't buy a car with tinted glass. That's a level of trust and confidence. Are you getting my point? Can that be your testimony? Can your father look at you and say, son, I know you will build a house for me. Please, when you are building it, can you make the kitchen a bit larger? And he knows you are not going to say, are you joking? One plot of land? No. Hallelujah. I remember years ago, someone met me and we were talking about purpose and destiny. A good friend of mine. And he told me something. He said, sir, I'm more confident about your life than I am about my own life. He's just saying, when I look at you, I can guarantee that you will be a success, even more than I can guarantee my own success. And I told him, change it. There is a revelation you can have. John 14:17. Everyone say after me, Holy Spirit, I open up myself. Say it seriously. Holy Spirit, I open up myself to the fullness of your ministry, to the multifaceted dimensions of your ministry. He said, even the Spirit of truth, he said, the world cannot do what? That means there are people who do not receive this Spirit. The world cannot receive him because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. He said, for you, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Allos Parakletos, the helper. When the Holy Ghost comes into your life, he helps you. There are things he does not do for you, but he assists you. Let's rush. What are the components of true fellowship? Number one, the study of the word. The study of the word. These are the things you do in that secret place. The components that make up true fellowship, koinonia with the Spirit. Number one, the study of the Word. If you claim you are in intimacy with the Holy Spirit and you don't at least have a commitment, even if you don't have a desire, you must have a commitment. Because there are times you may not have a desire, but you must have the commitment. Are you getting my point? There are times you may not have the desire to study. Just like there are times you may not have desire to go to work or go to class, but you have the commitment. Praise God. What is the relevance of studying the word? It gives us an understanding of the ways of God. It gives us an understanding of the ways of God, the thoughts of God, and the mindset of God. We must study the word of God contained in this book. Listen, when you listen to my teachings or you read my books, for instance, in that book is a communication of my persuasions. Is that true? A book is simply a documentation of persuasions. When I'm persuaded about a philosophy or an idea or a pattern of thought, I document it. So when you study my books, it is possible to begin to think like me even without seeing me, because you've explored my material so much. You have submitted yourself to my thinking pattern, and that's what leadership is all about. Influencing people to come to a point where they adopt your value system by using influence and not force. Saddam Hussein and all of these people, Adolf Hitler, they were bad leaders because they caused people to adopt their ideology by using force and cruelty. But look at Jesus. He made his life a template of his ideology so that when we saw it, we'd be able to align to it. Are you getting my point? The word of God, the Greek word for word there is logos. And it's translated thoughts. The thoughts of a man. Printed. The thoughts, the thinking pattern of a man. And Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 says this. It said, let this mind, let this mindset, let this ideology, let this frame of work, this plane of judgment, let it be in you, which was also in Christ. And the word Christ is Christos, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you. That means there is a mindset. Everybody say mindset. Everybody say programming. The word of God does something to you. I've shared this. If I pick, come my dear. You are a microbiology, right? Biochemistry. This is a biochemist, for instance. Watch this. Some years ago, this lady came not knowing anything about biochemistry. Is that true? But there was a curriculum, is that true, that had been created with the goal of transforming her. Did they change her body? Did they injure her? They just passed her to a system for a period of time. And the lecturers looked at her and felt she was qualified to be awarded a degree. So the word of God is his school of training you, where you interact with his thinking pattern. It's not a devotional to make you feel spiritual. The word of God is his thought, his mindset, his ideology. Bless you, my dear. So all the while you've been taught all your life that if you want to be rich, money doesn't grow on trees. Hoard as much as you can hoard. Cheat everybody. Kill if it's possible. But then when you explore the mind of God, the constitution that governs the operation of the kingdom, you will find out that there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than his meat and tends to poverty. Now you are in conflict. There are two mindsets. Are you getting my point now? And when you submit to the word of God, you have permitted. The word let means permit. Permit this mind. Hallelujah. So culturally, you have been taught that when you envy people and fight with people, then you become the big boss. Ah! And then you come and you study that when you come into Christ, there is a new law. There is a new operation of love that works in you. Hallelujah. Everybody say, the word of God reveals to me God's ideologies, God's perspective, and then it also reveals to you God's opinion about every matter. There are many opinions, brothers and sisters. The word of God reveals to you God's opinion. I'll be chipping a lot of things to bless us. Come, Sheyi. Listen. If I want to marry this lady now, I don't need to go and meet a devil like many of us go around scouting for everybody. And they just say, just tell me. The word of God. As a young man, you want to get married. Are you getting my point now? Culturally, you are taught, just go to the village, carry anybody that is available, save Johnny, flog it out in the marriage. Yeah, after all, you are the man. Eventually, you will survive. Two of you will be tired of fighting, and you will now sit down at the round table to discuss how to move your home forward. That's a cultural way. But according to scripture, number one, you know that it's God's will for you to marry. Male and female, he created them. Not two males, not two females. Male and female. So it is very clear that you have, God did not create a man and a whale. So if you find out that you are having desire for fish to marry, you know that you need to run for miracle service. There's something wrong. Listen. I'm teaching you how to adopt the mind of God. See that? If you find out you are having a desire for another man or another lady, you know that you need help. Quick! Either a retreat or prayer. Anyone. You need it quick. Now watch this. I'm showing you how the mindset of God affects you, right? When you now go to study the Bible, I'm reading now as a gentleman who wants to settle down. And the Bible says, for this cause shall a man, not a boy. So the first question is, what makes a man? I'm showing you how to study and meditate upon the word of God. And he said, shall a man leave his father and mother? That means he must be independent. And there are several things that bring for independent responsibility, some level of financial security, some level of mental stability. Are you seeing how I'm building on God's mindset? Leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, not his wife and other concubines, his wife. Right? And they too shall become what? One flesh. Automatically, it tells me that The lady I'm going to marry is not a house girl. It's not a kicking machine to beat her up every time a business deal doesn't go well. Are you getting my point now? And then I study from God's word. He said, children are a heritage from the Lord. Not a product of a man and a woman. They are heritage from the Lord. So, I bend to the mindset of God. Whereas, I'm the kind of person that claims, I'm a hot guy, yo. I can never do this. All this nonsense that we carry from different cultures. And you now come. I'm this. In our village, ladies kneel down, lie down and lick her leg. In our village, when ladies cook, soup is in one plate, food is in one plate. You now submit to the word of God. You either choose to carry your village to your destiny or drop it and pick up the mindset. Choose ye this day, the Bible says. That means you can choose. Are you getting my point now? And I say, lady, when you make up your mind and say, no, me, I'm not going to do anything. No, any man that I will give it to him. I'm not cooking for any man. I'm this and that. We are women. I'm independent. I have my own rights too. Then you read. Wives! You first ask yourself, am I a wife with this noise I'm making? You see that? Because if you are not a wife, he was not talking to you. You can continue doing what you are doing. But if you are a wife, the Bible says, submit to your husbands in everything. Everything. It did not leave you with a choice. This is the law of the kingdom. And so you now bring yourself and say, well, talk, God. This is how you have made it. I subscribe to your government. Hallelujah. So if you are one who is lazy and not given to prayer, and you find out, the Bible says, Luke 18 verse 1, he spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Automatically you know that you will submit. The goal of studying the word is not to give yourself head knowledge that puffs up. Every time you study the word, find the principles of the kingdom. The next thing is submit to their operations. Bless you, man. You see the reason why our study of the word does not profit us most of the time. Because the truth is, many of us use devotionals, we use books. But when we study the word of God, we do not submit. Number one, many of us study and argue it. When you just study, you see something that stings your ego and you just jump it. You say, I don't like this book of Colossians. Let me go to something else. What is my confidence? What assurance do I have that I'm submitting to a mindset that will not disappoint me? He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He said, they are thoughts of good. You see the word thoughts again? My mindset towards you. This mindset that I propose to you. Like a man comes to meet a lady and says, look, I will take care of you. If you go with me in this journey, forget about what you see now. We are soaking Gary, but at the end is peace. That's what God is doing with his word. Right? He's bringing you a proposal. And he's saying, look how your mindset has made your life. The quality of your life so far is a product of your ideologies. Can you bend and let me propose this mindset? I know this, the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts that will bring you good. Thoughts of good and not of evil. To bring you a future and an expected end. Hallelujah. Everybody say the study of the word. When you study the word, you understand the ways of God. And when you understand the ways of God, you will easily be able to detect error. Are you getting my point? So when you see an operation that looks like God, but does not line up with the value system and the ideologies of the kingdom, although it looks spiritual, you can judge it by the authority of the word. Are you getting my point now? Number two.
Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come in open heart. Oh, let peace.
I never study my Bible as if I'm doing a Bible quiz or competition. Many of us believe in our minds, we are used to competitions. So when you start studying, you now come and meet your friend and say, I finished Colossians today, I was just going through it, I even started Ephesians. How has it changed your life? Who cares? Who cares whether you read the book? No. Listen, don't be under pressure. It is not spirituality to say, I finished my Bible 20 times. If we cannot see the fruit in your life, it's like saying, I know Jonathan. Every day you are telling us you know Jonathan, and we are still the same level. We say, oh God, you are lying somewhere. You are lying somewhere. Because we know the way even Jonathan's houseboy is. You are shouting every time, Jonathan is my father's brother. If not because of situation, I would have grown in his house. You are telling, at a point in time, we know that you are telling a lie. That's how it is. So every time if you speak, I'm a word addict. I'm studying the word. Yet we are not seeing your life. You are the first to get angry. You are the first to slap people. You are the first to insult people. You are the first to use words that are not cultured by the Spirit. We know you have not been with God. There is an absence of koinonia. Listen, there are parameters that can measure if the word of God is growing in you. The measure of the word of God in you is the measure of the lordship of Christ in your life. Are you getting my point? He said, my little children in whom I travail until Christ be formed. So I see the degree to which you have submitted to the word of God. That is the degree to which Jesus has become Lord in your life experientially. Hallelujah. Take your time and study the word of God. Listen, you must be strategic about your studying the word of God. Every day we have devotionals to help us here. But you don't have all the time to study the word of God for 8 hours every day. That's not how to grow. That's a religious way. There are many of us that put ourselves under unnecessary pressure. I don't study the word of God like that. Every day I look at, there are times I get up in the morning, there's no time for anything. I have so much activities. But I dedicate periodic times when I stay with the word of God intentionally for the purpose of discovering the gems and the treasure in the word and applying it in my life. How have you been studying your word? So that you can quote. Some of us even have some Bible memory aids that help us. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This and that and that. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Jeremiah chapter this and that. And people say, whoa, whoa, your life is not changing. You are quoting dangerous scriptural principles that have changed the lives of ancient men. But because this thing was not done for the purpose of intimacy, it was simply done to find relevance outside of the Spirit. I'm not against Bible recitation. If you stay with a man so much, you should be able to know his words. Your word have I hidden in my heart, the Bible says, that I may not sin against you. How shall a young man keep his way pure? Not by trying to run away from iniquity. He said, but by meditating. By meditating. By meditating. So my value systems change. Hallelujah. Number two. The components that make for true intimacy, true fellowship. Number two is a life of praise and worship. Praise and worship. What does praise and worship do? It creates the atmosphere for the Spirit of God to manifest Himself and to commune with you. The Holy Ghost does not show up everywhere. His manifest presence, His omnipresence, the ability to be everywhere is there. Where can I hide from your presence? The psalmist says. But his manifest, his revealed presence, that he reveals himself for the purpose of communion, it doesn't happen everywhere. Look at me. Have you seen two people in a relationship? When it's evening and they want to really sit down and talk, does the guy just look and tell the lady to sit down? And then him too, he just sits down in the middle of the junction. That was your day. What do you think the lady would do? The lady will say, this is a picture of many things to come. I'm plotting this graph and it's not heading up to your tent, who ye Israel. You see that? There is always a preparation. Because this guy loves this lady or he's trying to win her heart. He would dress the place. He would arrange it. If she likes red flowers, somebody that you know has no business with red will go out of his way, buy red, buy anything that looks like red. It may be even the ox blood. To him, it's red. At least he tried. He will bring it and arrange something. And says, I did this for you. I prepared this place. This is your own place. Sit down. Many of us do not know that there is a geography where God meets with men. You can set up an altar, a meeting place. Solomon dedicated a place in the temple and he said, oh Lord, let this be your resting place. Wherever people are, if they turn to Jerusalem and pray, hearken to them. Hallelujah. You can make your house or your room an altar. There are people here in this church building. You see them in the night. They come. Some of them pray. There are some of us, our rooms. There are some of us, certain places, some toilets, some garages. It doesn't matter where. People just lock themselves somewhere and just say, Lord, I have come to fellowship. And you just sing songs of worship.
I love you, Lord. And I lift my hands.
That's fellowship, koinonia.
To worship you.
And you're luring him with your worship because he cannot resist worship.
Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my king.
And your phone is ringing and you leave it there. It's the guy that says you should send your bank account and you leave it there.
In what you hear.
The devil is saying, keep singing. You will finish singing and eat your fingers.
Let it be a sweet.
And he's watching. He's watching. He's seeing the way other things do not mean nothing in his presence. Priority. Sister, you are just singing, I love you, Lord. And Prince Charming is flashing. Ha! Your body. Abel wants to worship. Cain is saying, you better call now that things are working for you. You have been praying and submitting prayer requests. This guy is already being nice now.
Let it be a sweet, sweet sound.
Anything you love above the secret place is an idol. I don't care what it is. Abraham took his son. Son, I love you. But before you came, I was in love with another. And not your presence will kill that love. He dropped that boy and lifted the knife. The reason why many of us may never encounter certain dimensions of glorious things is because God tested you with that thing and his presence, and you gave up his presence for it. It's the same thing as trading your birthright for a pot of soup. Soup that you eat and 3 hours later you are hungry. Hallelujah. When I'm spending time with God, let the whole world catch fire. Let it catch fire. It's amazing how the devil can create so much distractions. There are some of us who, when we come to the presence of God, that's the time to peek. You just see a lady's hair. Say, that's the hair I've been talking to you about. Let me snap it quickly. And you become a commentator on WhatsApp and what they call it, all those things. And the devil knows when to disturb you. He waits until it's time for the presence. It's time for you to fellowship with the Spirit. He now brings up all sorts of things. Psalm 100 verse 2 says, come before him with singing. That is the protocol of his presence. Sing to the Spirit. Many of you don't sing. Every man that moves in the anointing is a man of worship. It's a secret of the anointing. That's why you see us take our time. That's why you see these people standing. You don't want to imagine the sacrifice that they spend. I'm on stage and they're on stage with me, even if it's for 10 hours. And the keyboard is playing. Why? Because he's worshiping. We are creating the atmosphere. He said, I will reveal my dark sayings upon the harp. The prophet knew this. And so he said, bring me a minstrel. I cannot talk. I need to bring, because the Holy Spirit was not resident in them. He would come. And he said, there is a technology in the Spirit that invokes his presence. That's what we do during our traditional festivals.
You see some people who just tie some things around and they come and they are dancing and singing for hours like fools. And when the spirit they are calling finally arrives, you will know it has arrived. Confusion, accidents, all sorts of things. Registering his presence and here. You ask for it. In India, many of you have watched them. They blow flutes and they sing and those serpents begin to come out. And people come to watch. Music is a law of spiritual operation. It's not just a principle. That's why when you listen to all these classical music, orchestras, you know, and all this contemporary worship, they do something to your spirit. I have a bad voice, so what? You are not presenting a special number. It's called the secret place. Even if you are not called into the ministry of worship, God is not complaining. He loves it the way it is. Sing any song. Compose your own song. Hallelujah. Have you seen a lady in love and the guy said, I want to sing for you? Because his friend said, that's what I did. And the guy is not a good musician. He doesn't even know that the key he's taking is not even the key of the right song. He's mixing words. He's just singing all sorts of songs. And because the lady loves, she's saying, wow, you mean you learned this song today? And the guy is saying, you cannot imagine the days of rehearsal. And he's making all sorts of mistakes. Listen, I'm showing you something about some of you. It has happened to you. That's why you are laughing. You are seeing how this guy is doing his best. He's even closing his eyes. He's communicating his passion. On a very good day, you would have gotten up to work. But you appreciate that's how the Holy Ghost is. He's not complaining. He's not complaining. We can tell you here that your voice is not good, but when you are in the sea, go off key, go up, go down, sing bass, sing anything, it's you and him. It's called koinonia. There are not many people invited. He, not them that dwell in the secret place. The secret place is not a congregation. It's a place where you meet. It's a love affair. It's an intercourse. It's called koinonia.
Dance with me. Remember our song? Lover of my soul, to the song of all songs.
This is to the Holy Spirit.
Would you dance with me, oh lover of my soul, to the song of all songs.
Let's sing one more time. I'm making you fall in love with him.
Dance with me, oh lover of my soul, to the song of all songs.
Listen, listen, listen. And while you are singing this song, suddenly his Shekinah fills the room. You know he's in that place. I mean, your whole body is shaking. This guy is responding. Your love song is attracting him. And you're just shaking. And you're wondering. Scriptures are just coming in your mind. And as that is happening, God is talking to people. Bless him. Bless her. Favor him. All that is happening in the secret place. There are sicknesses and challenges. There are burdens that you have and you take to the secret place and you're saying, oh Lord, about this CGPA, I just saw my CGPA, 5 carryovers, and he gives you a song to sing for him. Because when you sing, it brings him and that song begins to comfort you. Whereas you were crying about something, after meeting with him, you wipe your tears and you get up and walk like a king. You have a challenge in your life. You are struggling with a habit. You are struggling with something. And you go to his presence. And you begin to sing and say, Lord, something else is taking your place in my life. And I'm reporting to you. I'm a faithful bride. I'm reporting to you that pornography wants to steal your place in my life. I'm reporting to you that pride in ministry is taking your place. And as a jealous God, like a man who is fighting for his bride, he will come and say, let me see that devil that stands.
Would you dance with me, oh lover of my soul, to the song of all songs.
Listen,
There is not, there are people when you tell secrets about your life, you are in trouble. It's as you would have just gone to NTA and announced to the whole world, because they would tell everybody, they are just, don't tell anybody. The next person would tell Sister P, say, I don't know you. If anything happens, I've never met you. But the Holy Ghost is the only one who can listen to everything about you and still not complain. I don't know one man who has been with his wife and they've never had reason. The Holy Spirit will never quarrel you. You come with your weaknesses broken. You come with all sorts of things. When men reject you, when that guy says you're good for nothing, you refuse to sleep with me, go. You come back to the secret place. That's the place of strength. Men of God who do not have the secret place, when persecution starts, and now, see, the apostolic ministry comes with heavy persecution. If you are not a man of the secret place, you will never last. Men will question the source of your anointing. Men will question the reason why crowds are gathered like this. Men will question all kinds of things. When men shout and people, oh, you think it's everybody that sends me nice text messages? I wish so. I wish so. When I get all those things, I look forward to my hour of prayer. And I just go into his presence and I lie down flat. The one who can love me the way I am. Men will tell you, if you are looking too fat, you are looking too slim, the Holy Spirit says you are okay. Just stay there. You are okay. I don't need any shedding weight. I don't need, your hair is not rough. You are okay. Come on now. Ladies, you have given your heart to a man of inferior value. Why not come to this Spirit? You gave your whole life to a man you were sure that you are not the only one in his life. But this is one who has pledged commitment with you forever. You never know what true love is until you meet the Holy Spirit. When you meet the Holy Spirit, you start searching for a man that can give you the same effect in your secret place. And if you don't find it, you don't say yes to it. So when one brother comes because he likes you, he now wears suit and comes for koinonia. When he's talking to you, you are looking for that spiritual effect that cannot be faked. And you say, my brother, you talk like you're a Christian, but I don't see that signature. Meaning you are not a man of the secret place. Hallelujah. Worship. Do you spend time? I'm telling you, when I'm in the presence of God, I'm not Apostle Joshua Selman. I throw away all of those things and I roll before him and I cry like a baby. This is how I prepare for meetings. Brothers and sisters, this is how I prepare for meetings. I talk to the Lord and I say, Lord, Friday is miracle service and so many people are coming right now and I cannot help them. I'm but a young man. There are so many expectations on me. And I hear the Spirit of God telling me, don't worry, we'll go together. We'll do this. That's why when I sit down, in my mind, I'm saying, okay, Holy Spirit, worship team is now ministering. We are ready to go. And I can just feel him saying, go. Go! Go and do it. Prove to the people that you are not alone. Ah! And has he left me? Not once. Many guys will run away from you when the going gets tough. Is that true? I remember a guy who was making noise about a lady. I will marry her. He found out that she had a problem with bedwetting. And it was a demonic problem. The lady was a very responsible and godly lady. It's just that it had been there for a while. When he found out, the brother said, you know, guys, I'm busy. Oh, please don't disturb me. I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm busy. And the day this lady came and she cried to me, and it pained me because I know the brother. I said, such a virtuous lady. So you are already trying to, you've not gotten married, but there is something about her life you are not proud of, and you are now running away. That's the same thing you will do when you get married. But the Holy Ghost, he will give you a garment, you want, stain it outside. When you come, you see him holding soap, already waiting for you. While you are trying to explain, he says, there's no need. That you came into my presence is a sign that you are not a rebel.
To the song of all song.
Can we sing this song just once as I prepare to round up?
Would you dance with me, your lover of my soul, to the song of all songs?
just the voices, just one more time, from the depths of your heart.
Would you dance with me, oh lover of my soul, to the song of all songs?
The third component of intimacy with the Holy Ghost is prayer. The first is the study of the word. The second is the ministry of heartfelt praise and worship. God blesses you by a keyboard. God blesses you by a guitar. Are you getting my point? Even if it's only one key, learn it, CFG, and the minor. Just sit down and lie down. That's all you know. You are not learning it to sing somewhere. One day people will come and listen to you. I remember when, years ago, when I used to be, we were three. Myself, Steve Strings, and Andy, now called Ambassage, is a gospel musician. Three of us were roommates, then in Danfodio. And we would worship, goodness. I was like a madman. Sometimes I would lie down. And they used to keep the keyboard of Winners Campus Fellowship then. Then Steve was the vice president of Winners Campus Fellowship. So they used to keep the equipment in our room. Praise God. And I'll just get on the keyboard and Steve will just take the guitar, and you know his fingers, those anointed fingers, goodness. And Steve will begin to play. And while we're just playing the glory of God, one night something happened. I'll never forget. Myself, Andy, and Steve, we were just singing and worshiping for hours. And then we held three of our hands, and brothers and sisters, I tell you the truth, we could not lift our hands. God came into that room. When you see a man of the secret, he's ever looking young. It's not about eating well. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. You see a man of 60 years, 65 years, looking as if there is a supernatural ability working, because there truly is. If it's a life-giving spirit and you stay with a life-giving spirit for so long, something happens to you. Do you believe me? Absolutely. Prayers. Especially praying in the spirit. Praying in the spirit is a mystery that initiates and sustains true communion. Many of us come from circles where the subject of praying in tongues has been challenged. I came from an Orthodox background and I understand what it means. I went to a seminary and I have touched different Orthodox circles. So I understand. The way Pentecostals taught it was a terrible way. Nobody would... And then all of the rascality and madness that happened around praying in tongues made it look as though when the Holy Spirit came upon people, He made them idiots. They did not teach us that tongues was a mystery. It was a language of heaven that was supposed to enforce communion. It's a secret code of communication. We were not taught like that. I'll never forget the day they were going to pray for us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand anything. The man was teaching, I was feeling like sleeping. The only thing I know is he called two people and he told one to run on one leg and the other one ran on two legs. And he said, that's it, praying in understanding tongues. That's all I remember. And then we sang one song. Hallelujah, Jehovah reigns. Hallelujah, Jehovah reigns. Hallelujah, Jehovah reigns. Give Him the glory that He deserves. That's all. And then we got filled with the Holy Ghost. When I started praying in tongues, I was wondering. I said, oh God, I hope I'm not just joining everybody and lying. Maybe they received the real thing. Because some people were falling. Me, I didn't fall. Nothing happened, but I was praying at least. I doubted that thing for days. But I began to see transformation in my life. In JS 2, I was made the timekeeper of the whole school. There was a grace in my life that I could not explain. JS 2, very small boy, 4:45, every day the Holy Ghost would wake me, physically. Someone would tap me, 4:45. We had a matron called Miss Rhoda, wonderful woman, she's gone to be with the Lord now. One day, when I woke up, 5 on the dot, I would ring the bell. She called me and laid hands. She said, you're an exceptional person.
I would study just once. I'm serious. I never have to read again. Once. It was supernatural. Then we started one prayer evening meeting called Operation Catacruz. We were tired of the nonsense that was happening around. So we, myself and five guys, we were like the apostles of the school. Five of us, very small. We did wonderful things. Wonderful things. One of them was a sickler. He was like our Peter. And all through that time, that devil of infirmity left. Oh, we did mighty things. I prayed for people who were stammerers. And all of a sudden, the stammering would leave. For us, it was not a big deal. Because nobody taught us that this thing was great. You need honorarium. You're a great man. No. We just did our thing. And then at a point, they now started bringing a lot of priests and they were teaching. They brought a lot of people. They taught and we knew it was us they were talking to. And then eventually, we threw away all these things of God. It was something in my spirit. And when we threw away all those things, it was in less than 2 months, our leader died. I was with him the final moments in the hospital. His ribs were swollen. That sickness came back. What he was delivered from. They were born triplets. One died. There's only one who is alive now. And I looked at him in the hospital. I told him, don't worry, you'll be fine. Little did I know that would be the last time. Because we ignored the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I cried one day, many years, when I realized that was the reason. We left him. We actually asked him to walk out of our lives.
Take your place. Take your place.
I will never ask you to walk out of my life.
Take your place. Take your place.
That gentleman died. Most of the great prayer warriors who were doing great things, I tell you, many of them today, some of them are drunkards, some of them are whatever, because they preach to us that forget the, you know, the Holy Spirit, blah, 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 blah. Some of you right now, you are at the verge of throwing away. The only thing you have not thrown is praying in tongues. You've thrown every other thing. Prayers. Prayer opens us up to sensitivity. It opens us up through sensitivity, to the promptings and the impulses of the Spirit. The ministry of prayer opens us up, makes us sensitive. You can get more of that on my teaching, Spiritual Perception. Opens your organs of interacting with spiritual things. And then you begin to move in certain operations of the Spirit. The word of knowledge, the knowing of the Spirit, the witness of the Spirit. All of these things are activated in the place of prayer. Prayer empowers us to hear His voice. The Bible says, while they prayed, the Holy Ghost spoke to them. Not while they sat down, while they prayed, the Holy Ghost spoke to them. He said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. While they prayed. Let's hurry up. Number 4. Corporate fellowship with the brethren. Components that bring intimacy. Or components of true fellowship. Corporate fellowship with the brethren. Very important. Acts chapter 13 verse 2. The Bible says, while they prayed and fasted, they prayed, they sang, the Holy Ghost said unto them, not unto one man. Let me tell you the importance of corporate fellowship like this. It gives you the opportunity to partake of the dealings of the Spirit in the life of others. Are you getting my point now? So, levels that your personal intimacy with the Holy Spirit has not brought you, when you come together, it's like a corporate receiving. Hallelujah. Psalms 133 verse 1 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And he begins to describe it. He says, it's like the oil that comes upon the head of Aaron, down to his beard, down to his skirt, even to his garment. He said, for there God has commanded the blessing. Behold how good and pleasant it is. The Bible says, Acts chapter 2 verse 1. It says, now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together in one accord. The Holy Ghost never came until they were together. There is the mystery of corporate fellowship. Not just emptying, sitting down and occupying empty pews. No. Fellowship. Do you know that you can be together as a congregation but not have fellowship? Because there's bitterness, there's anger, there's competition, there's party spirit, seditions and all kinds of things. But when you come, that's why one of our core values, the first of our core value as a ministry is love. Love, not power, not anointing, not intimacy. Love, love. The bond of perfectness. There is only fellowship when there is true love. When two people are fighting, the first thing that disappears is laughter. Laughter, absence of laughter is a sign that something is wrong. Corporate fellowship. What does it do? It opens us to other dimensions of his dealings. It creates oneness in the body. The Bible says in Acts chapter, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith. The same understanding as a body. Finally, what are the rewards of true fellowship? Let me round up with this. I have to hurry up. Remember, our topic is koinonia, the ancient secret, ancient secrets to power. So, what is the reward? What is the reward? What is the reward? Be sensitive now because I sense the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, every time I just begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, it's like a magnet that you cannot resist. Although our time is fast spent, but somebody must receive something tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. What are the rewards of fellowship with the Holy Spirit? I'll give you just three of them. Number one, the reward, the child, the proceed of that intercourse between you and the Spirit. The same way when a man meets his wife, something leaves that man to his wife. And over time, a child is born. That child is the consummation of their oneness. Is that true? When you stay with the Holy Spirit, when koinonia is at work in your life, certain things must happen. Number one, authentic spiritual power. Authentic spiritual power. I said authentic because there are all kinds of things. All kinds of things right now. Authentic spiritual power. Authentic spiritual power. The anointing for miracles. The anointing for signs and wonders. They are a product of intimacy. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. If you've been called into the apostolic ministry or prophetic ministry or teaching or pastoral, any of the fivefold ministry, you need the anointing for supernatural miracles, signs and wonders. Men can forget what you say, but they will never forget the impact of your meeting upon their lives. Many pastors are struggling. They keep speaking, but there is no grace. There is no anointing. There is no authentic anointing. I'm not talking about laying hands on people. That your words, they do something to the physical bodies of those listening. They do something to their minds. The words do something. The Bible says, and the Lord walking with them, confirming the words. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has smeared me with oil. Where did that happen? In the secret place. While I was fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost, a deposit of his ability rubbed off on me. And I come out of the secret place with that ability. The Bible says the Spirit drove Jesus to the wilderness. And he was there for how long now? 40 days. And at the end of it, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. You want to see authentic power. You want to see the anointing of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I believe in impartation from men of God, but the Holy Spirit is the greatest custodian of the anointing. You stay with him, you have the anointing without measure. Dimensions of his anointing comes upon your life. Brothers and sisters, listen. It has nothing. I don't care how weak you are right now. If you stay with the Holy Ghost, man, woman, boy, girl, including the little ones, you will contact something that is tangible. The world may criticize you, but they cannot deny what is at work in your life.
You are the power in me. You are the fire at work.
When you see mighty works, there is an anointing.
You are my ever-present helper. Holy Spirit.
Aya. And he anoints you. So an ordinary man, brothers and sisters, an ordinary timid Joshua Selman, when his anointing comes upon you, look at Samson. He was a man who was weak. But when the anointing came upon him, he did mighty things. And men will look at you. They will see small you. But there is big Jesus. There is big Holy Spirit. So men will invite you for meetings. Thousands of people. And when you walk through and see those wheelchairs and those blind eyes, you know that it's not just about talking nonsense. It's either it is there or not. And you stretch your hands and you speak and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, blind eyes open. And you are hearing people shouting, I can see. And you are flattered yourself because you know that you are not the custodian of this. This is what happens in Koinonia. He blesses us with his presence. And so we can command devils to go and they must leave. And we can command sicknesses to go. And we can speak to blood conditions and change them. And we can speak to situations and alter destinies. A dear lady of ours wrote her exams and her WAEC. And when the results came out, you know, she was so excited. Sent me a text yesterday. I met with her briefly today. And this lady just nailed it on point. I mean, I looked, I said, goodness, this is great. The Holy Ghost can take a weak person. Mary says, how shall these things be? Oh Lord, how will I have an international ministry as weak as I am? How can this guitar produce an international ministry? Oh Lord, is it true that one day I will stand before the nations? And God is saying, do not underestimate the power of the anointing upon the life of a man. They will pay you. They will lodge you in hotels. And you are there wondering, oh God, no, there is this treasure. You are an earthen vessel, but there is a treasure. The only way to take advantage of it is to carry you along. Because it's in you.
Same power that conquered the grave lives in me. Lives in me.
Oh, I'm anointed. Say, I'm anointed.
Your love that rescued the earth lives in me.
Listen, brothers and sisters, it's on the strength of the secret place that we can tell you will never go back the same. You see that? That is what is responsible. Many of you came here probably for the first time. You just said, let's come and see what happened. And you came and you encountered the anointing of the Spirit. If you are a preacher in this place, stop doing ministry without the anointing. You are going to fight everybody around you because of anger. You will hate everybody around you because of competition and intimidation. Many preachers are angry with anointed people today because they are unwilling to subscribe to the terms of authentic power. It happens once in a while. It just happens by magic. And then when they see this happen in the lives of people, especially when the person is a young man, because it's not an issue of age, whoever can pay that price. The power that truly brings revival and transformation, brothers and sisters, is one thing to gather people, but it's another thing for their lives to be changed. There are many churches that the lives of the members are not being changed. Can I tell you the truth? I know that crowd is not an ultimate basis to measure growth and impact. But let me tell you sincerely, when people are being changed, they will come again and again and camp there. That this guy was an armed robber. He was a bad person, an occultist. All of a sudden, he comes to Koinonia for 3 or 4 weeks. There are so many people, especially many of the leaders and the workers today. By the grace of God, I know how these people were when they came. Some of them were cultists. Some of them were all sorts of people. But the power of the Spirit. As a minister, when people come to your congregation, you don't screen them and throw the bad ones. There are no bad eggs in the house of God, because His anointing can change any man. So a man comes who is stubborn. They say, we have tried and tried. And they say, no, not when the authentic power of God comes. You can handle any congregation. As a pastor, they can post you anywhere and it does not matter. They post you to a church of 10 members in 1 year. Is an avalanche because of the anointing. He said, it shall come to pass. Isaiah 10:27. He says, the burden shall be taken from off your neck and the yoke from your shoulders, and it shall be destroyed. Not because you went to school, not because you can speak English, because of the anointing. There's too much talk in the body of Christ because there is no anointing. Charles and Francis Hunter of blessed memory wrote a book. They said that one miracle is worth 1,000 words. How true. Authentic anointing. Acts chapter 19, 11 and 12. The Bible says, and God wrought special miracles. God wrought special miracles. Not just ordinary miracles. Brothers and sisters, if you walk in extraordinary miracles, the only thing you will go through that is bad is criticism. But the hand of God is like a signature, and you write upon the lives of men, He is alive. That's why we will continue doing what we are doing. That's why anyone who comes here will truly be blessed. And we say it with absolute certainty, not on the strength of ourselves. The Bible says we are not sufficient in ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God, who has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letters, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Number two, the second reward, koinonia, is multiplied grace. Multiplied grace. Multiplied grace. What does multiplied grace bring in your life? Ease of operation. Write it down. I know many struggling ministers. They are doing well, but you know that this they are doing ministry as if it's a cross to kill them. No, sir. No, sir. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If that yoke is killing you, then it's not from God. Hallelujah. Ease of operation in your ministry. Ease of operation in your job. There are many people who struggle just for little promotion. You have to struggle and bribe and pass. No. When there is multiplied grace, the Bible says great grace was upon them. Great grace. Acts chapter 4 verse 31 to 33. When they prayed, the building shook. And the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Okay, so just write it. We may not run go there because of time. Our time is up. Number three, the last one, and this is the most important I want you to carry tonight, is that the products, the benefits, the reward of your intimacy with the Holy Spirit is the release of your gifts, your talents, and your abilities. Please never forget this. This applies to every one of us now. It's one thing to be gifted, but it's another thing for your gift to be anointed. You can be gifted and it can be killing you. But when your gift is anointed, your gifts and abilities become anointed. What does it mean to be anointed? It means it is activated and empowered to produce supernatural results. So your singing ministry, you have great gifts. But when He anoints that gift, all of a sudden, your keyboard that you are playing, suddenly, you see wheelchairs standing up just because Mike is playing. That's a gift that has been anointed. Someone will come up here and just be reciting a poem or be dancing. You may belong to a rap group or a dancing ministry and you are dancing and sick bodies are healed. That's an ability that has been anointed. Many of us are gifted and we've spoken about gifts, but many of us, our gifts are not anointed. This is my beloved son. He has always been there, but now whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Listen, stop trying to draw talents or draw resources. Forget about those things. Concentrate on the presence of God. When your gifts are anointed, people will come. When they come, they'll come together with their own gifts and their own anointings. Listen, I never for once, by the grace of God Almighty, look at all the brilliant people. Let me tell you, I believe that this ministry has one of the best, excellent, and most effective workforce. And I say this sincerely from the depth of my heart. Hallelujah. From the ushers, the worship team, there is excellence at our level. The prayer department, men who are committed, you think they are just. How would I have known them? Are you getting my point? I did not need to worry. When you stay in the secret place and your gift becomes anointed, distant shores and the islands will see your light. Has it right? Yes, you are a billionaire CEO, but until your gift is anointed, you will sit down there. Stay in the secret place. Let your gift, let your business acumen be anointed, and you will do wonders. Sister, God blessed you with beauty, but it's not anointed. That's why it is trivialized. You stay in the secret place and let it be anointed. The rod of Moses was a great rod, but it was not anointed. When he dropped it in the presence of God, the place of intimacy, God said, now pick up that rod. It's no longer an ordinary rod. He said, with this rod, you will do signs and wonders. Your academics is great, but it has not brought you any blessings because it is not yet anointed. Stop looking for resources. When you draw people, they will come into your life with their resources and abilities. When you contend for an anointing that can solve a millionaire's problem, he will come with his millions. There are many people who try to sit down and learn all kinds of gimmicks to raise money and run ministry. How much money can you raise to run ministry? Stay in the secret place. And while you are in the secret place, you will bless a man who will come with millions and say it's a privilege to sow. Ah!
Ask and thou give the nations to me, O Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see.
Listen, I'm telling you, days will come when God gives us the vision to start building. And by the grace of God, when this ministry has entered the next season, our job is to remain in the secret place. It will start attracting all sorts of people. They will come from different countries. You watch and see. They will sponsor the TV satellites and the rest. It's not in my ambition for once to think of how it will be done. Your job is have the potential. Footballers, brothers and sisters, footballers that cannot speak English receive millions of dollars per week because of their gift. They never knew that you need a coach. They don't even know Adidas or Puma. All they know is that they mastered the art of playing with that ball, and people rush and say, please endorse our product. During Olympic, one little girl, 15 years or thereabout, America's sweetheart, little black girl who was doing exceptional things. This lady could, you know, do all of those cartwheel and all of those gymnastics. And she did it so well. By the next day, that lady was on the face of many beverages in America. She doesn't know anything about marketing, but the gift of a man, when anointed, it will call the relevant people. Right now, we don't have people who are professionals and experts in launching satellites and doing this. Don't worry. When you stay in the secret place, they will come. One day they will come. I have seen in my visions white men and people. There was a time, 7 partners, multi-billionaires. I've seen it many times in my visions. And they'll come and say, God has instructed us that you and your ministry, you are part of our kingdom commitments for life. Stay in the secret place. Stop looking for houses and cars. Don't insult yourself. You're not that cheap. What you have is valuable. A day will come, they will fly you in the private jets, but you are not carried away. Remember, it's you and the Holy Ghost in that plane. You say, Holy Spirit, you promised me, and you have kept your promise. It doesn't fail. The key to commanding uncommon favor is when your gifts are anointed. They will draw people from all over. God is speaking to someone here. We're rounding up. Listen, brothers and sisters, the key to timeless relevance, regardless of geography or dispensation, is when you have gifts that are anointed. They will draw nations. They will draw nations, not people, nations. The Bible says you shall call on one person and nations will answer. Say, I'm gifted. And tonight, my gift will be anointed. There are many people here. Tonight is the last time you will be at this level. Take seriously what I'm saying. When God anoints your singing ministry, you see, if God does not anoint you, the other way is to start begging everybody. Please, I have an album. Will you buy it? Please, I have this. Sponsor me. Sam, help me. When you are going for ministration, carry me along. You see people passing all kinds of complimentary cards. I'm an anointed man. Something happened in my meeting. 20 people fell under the anointing. Invite me. That is gift that is not anointed. Because when you are anointed, people will love you. He said, because of the ointment, so do the virgins love you. I know it was talking about relationship, but it's a principle. Gentiles will not come to you. They will come to your light. They can criticize you, but they will never be able to resist you. You will see, I keep sharing it. Did you know that people bless my mother today? People call this woman of God and bless her and sow seeds and do all kinds of things. And that is only the beginning. The secret of relevance. You will never go out of fashion when you stay in the secret place. That's why I say the greatest publicity. Men of God who are always outside, running around, trying to scrounge for connection and ministry. No. Stay in the secret place. Jesus was in the manger. The white men carried their gifts. They started tracing the stars. The wise men, they were tracing it. Where is this one who was born? He was there lying down. They took gold, frankincense, myrrh. These were great men. They took it. Angels were announcing him. He was there quietly. Remain in the secret place. And you will see that people are talking about you everywhere. From criticism, somebody will say, why are they criticizing this person? Let me find out. And then he hears a message and says, I know why they are criticizing you now. While you are there quiet. If you are talking and advertising yourself, your grace is not anointed. Let her walk speak for her at the gates. Listen, the secret to entering rest is that the anointing comes upon your gift. You will rest indeed. The Bible says, let us therefore labor. This is not about struggle. Brothers and sisters, please hear me. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, the fruit, great grace. Your gift, your ability, your talent. It brings rest and establishment. It eliminates the need for envy and competition. When your gifts are anointed truly, you will find no reason for envy and competition. When I hear that, men of God, this one is trying to throw this one is trying to throw this, I just turn to God and I say, Lord, I'm grateful. Thank you for all. Da, 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 da. I can't remember the song. Juanita Bynum. Precious memories that you left with us. I just want to thank you, Lord. I appreciate you for your love. Finally, I've come this far. Beautiful song. No competition, brothers and sisters. You become too exceptional. You insult yourself by creating competition. There is no reason. I always wondered why Benny Hinn loved every man of God. I found out later on there was no reason for competition. Who is now going to compete with him? Based on what? Healing the sick or the anointing? You only compete when your gifts are not anointed. So you are, any man of God that comes into a place, you are threatened. And that's what is creating a lot of hatred in the body of Christ. There are men of God, when they hear the names of other men of God, there are men of God, when they hear the name of Joshua Selman, it's as if they've heard the name of a devil. It's not because they hate me. The solution is not to criticize me. The solution is to rise to the place of the anointing. Every time your gift is anointed, you will love everyone around you. It's God speaking to someone. There are some of you who are pastors of different ministries. Some of you fellowships, groups, churches. I want to speak to you. Never find yourself in competition and envy. Let the grace upon people challenge you, but not to cause you to resent people. And you look forward. I can only imagine how many people have been looking forward to hearing scandal about me, so that they will justify that everything they have said is true. There is a hand that lifted me. It will uphold me till the end. And I will not be afraid. There's no need for competition. When your grace is anointed, brothers and sisters, when you criticize an anointed man, those you are talking to will go and find out why you are angry. Because they will say, why is this thing personal to you? And then you end up publicizing the person again. Because the Lord is my light, and He's the light of my life, and I will not be afraid. It brings you finally, still point three, just sub points under point three, to a place of kingdom influence, so that you can win souls and transform lives. I told you that you need the influence of the kingdom in your life. Never trivialize the place of kingdom influence. You need the influence of the kingdom. When your sphere is enlarged, you need it. So that you will be able to speak the counsel of God to nations, and they will go in that direction. If Michael Jackson ever said Jesus is Lord, there would be more salvations than many crusade meetings put together, because of the power of influence. And so God anoints our gifts and lifts us up to that position where we can command the influence of the kingdom. Everybody stand up, please. We have just a few minutes. We've taken so much time. Please stand up. I just want to pray one prayer for you. Hallelujah. I know our time is fast spent. Please relax and receive that which I want to speak over your life. Shiva Lada. Brothers and sisters, the secret place is the answer to your cry. Is the secret, the ancient secret of power, the ancient secret of relevance, timeless relevance. It will bring you prosperity. It will make you known. It will make you increase. I'd like you to pray in 1 minute and say, Holy Spirit, I need you afresh in my life. Come and anoint my grace. Come and anoint my grace. Come and anoint my grace. I'm tired of struggling. There is a realm of ease. Come and anoint my grace. Anoint my music ministry. Anoint my business. Take me to the place of intimacy. Please pray. Pray. Anoint my catering. Anoint my business. Anoint my leadership institute. Anoint my job. I'm tired of a barren life. Spirit of the living God, anoint me afresh. Take me back to the place of the secret. Let me give me time for spiritual things. I cry koinonia. I cry koinonia. The birthplace of the anointing. The birthplace for relevance. Hallelujah. Please lift your hands. I want to pray for you. We're out of time. I'm going to ask the Lord to anoint our gifts and graces. Listen, it's not a careless prayer. something will happen to some of you. Your gifts will start being announced. Some of you, your ministries, your businesses, some of you, your families. There are so many things you have. I'm going to begin to pray. Lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus. As I begin to pray, the Holy Ghost will begin to move in mighty ways in this place. And there will be baptisms just in 1 or 2 minutes. And then we'll rise. Lift your hands. Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Spirit of the living God, let there be an anointing of gifts. Let there be an anointing of abilities. As I count three, I want you to just shout that name, Jesus. And there will be a baptism. Goodness, the power of God is everywhere. 1, 2, 3. Take it now. 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 God is anointing gifts. Anointing gifts. Anointing gifts. Anointing gifts. Go ahead, be praying in the Spirit. The anointing of the Spirit falling upon gifts. Anointing gifts. We're out of time. Just 1 minute or 2 minutes. Hallelujah. We're going to shout again. Listen. I always see this. I'm seeing the fire of the Holy Ghost like cloven tongues. And it's going to rest mightily on many people. Ideas, gifts, entrepreneurial graces. Lots of things will fall. Hallelujah. Praise God. At the count of three again, we are going to shout. This one will be mighty. I see tongues. God wants to anoint gifts. You will not be ordinary from tonight. There are ministries that will be anointed. There are businesses that will be anointed. Lift your hands. Thank you, Jesus Christ. My God, let this fire fall. 1, 2, 3. Take it now. 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 I anoint your grace. I anoint your gift. Let it speak. Let it speak. I anoint your business. I anoint your ministry. Be empowered. Mopotokete. Receive it. Receive it. That fire upon your gift. That fire upon your potential. That fire upon your ministry. That fire for the secret place. Take it now. Take it now. Take it now. Like a mighty tornado is coming upon you. Take it now. Take it now. Entrepreneurial grace. Take it now. Business acumen. Academic intelligence. The anointing for signs, wonders, miracles, the demonstration of the kingdom, teaching graces, apostolic graces, prophetic graces. I anoint your grace. I anoint your gift. I command it to speak. I bring it out of the box. You are one with the Holy Ghost. You are one with the Holy Ghost. When you talk, you are talking in partnership. When you pray, you are praying in partnership. As you walk, you are walking in partnership. As you do business, you are doing business in partnership. As you study, you are studying in partnership. As you are on your job, you are on your job in partnership. Hallelujah. I prophesy upon your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that attempts to kill intimacy with the Holy Spirit in your life, I command a restoration tonight in the name of Jesus. I declare that for those of you who have made it a point of duty to stay and build in His presence from today, May an extraordinary anointing come upon your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let the aura of His presence, let the fragrance of His glory, may it go with you everywhere you go. That men will look at your life and know that there is an effulgence of heaven. I command that your physical body will radiate the glory of God. And I pray that grace be multiplied upon your life. Grace be multiplied upon your ministry. And finally, I pray for you. The works of your hands, the giftings of God in you, whatever you have to do, in the name that is above all names, may it become anointed from tonight. May it become anointed from tonight. Where you used to struggle, there is ease of operation right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. And you will call upon His name and He will answer. You will call Him and He will show up on the scene. Those of you who are pastors, may you begin to see mighty things in your meetings. May you begin to see mighty things. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and just worship Him. All those who are worshiping with us for the first time, and all those who came from Jos especially and other places, while we worship Him, please find your way to the front quickly. We're out of time. Find your way very quickly to the front. Please, quickly, quickly, quickly. We're out of time. Thank you, sirs. Thank you, ma. Celebrate them, Koinonia. All our first timers. Everyone who is worshiping for the first time, please come out. God bless you. God bless you. Don't sit back. We have a blessing and a prophecy for you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. We honor you. We celebrate you. We appreciate your coming. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Keep coming. This is Koinonia. We thank the Lord for bringing you. And for those of you who invited them, may good things keep coming into your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, everyone. This is called Koinonia. I spoke a lot about it tonight. Hallelujah. It means intimacy and partnership with the Holy Ghost. Thank you so much for coming. Let me assure you, your life will never be the same. Something will happen to you that you yourself will not be able to explain. We're anointed, and when we pray for you, you are blessed. Stretch your hands, saints of God, and prophesy. This is our gift to you. Our gift to you is to speak the word of God in your life. Our gift to you is to alter the word of God in your life. To alter your destiny with the prophetic word of God. We speak to you. Those of you who are sick, as we are speaking to you now, I command that sickness to leave you, never to return. Those of you who have been oppressed, as we are praying for you, I command that oppression to leave you. Whatever it is that you came here with, we are praying for you right now, and I'm speaking. Let a world of opportunities be open. We break limitations from your life. And I command you to experience the glory of God. Hallelujah. May God bless you. We bless you with the blessings of heaven. We bless you with passion for spiritual things. I pray in the name of Jesus that you walk out of this meeting. And